The heart of a servant. It's something we all strive for and something we'll gain insight to from the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton today. In just a moment, we'll head to 1 Kings chapter 2 on this wonderful Bible teaching from Dr. Don Wilton, well-known author, evangelist, pastor, seminary professor. And today, as he opens God's Word, I pray that you and I would open ourselves to what we might could learn about one another and about our place of service. Dr. Don also wants you to know we're here to pray with you and for you anytime. You can connect on our website at tewonline.org. You'll find ways to call, to text, to get in touch with us. That's online at tewonline.org. And while you're there, be sure and sign up for the Daily Encouraging Word email from Dr. Don. That's online at tewonline.org. Now let's open our hearts and God's Word together with Dr. Don Wilton.
I want to speak to you about the heart of a father, and I'm going to invite you to turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 2. So we're going to be back in the Old Testament, and I want you to see this and be blessed by it. God is going to speak to us. I've always believed that when you teach and preach the Word of God, you can preach to the apples and the oranges get blessed, because it's God's Word. So, yep, this is Father's Day, and God's given me a very special word for fathers, for sons and daughters, for those who are impacted by fathers, for wives, family members. God is going to speak to you. But in 1 Kings and chapter 2, we find a dad, a father, who is about to die. And he says something to his son, and it's powerful. So let's just read it together. 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 1. When the time drew near for David to die, he gave a charge to Solomon, his son. I'm about to go the way of all the earth, he said. So my son, be strong. Show yourself a man and observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in his ways and keep his decrees and commands, his laws and requirements, as written in the law of Moses, so that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go, and that the Lord may keep his promise to me, that if your descendants watch how they live, and if they walk faithfully before me with all of their heart and soul, you will never fail to have a man on the throne of Israel. May the Lord write this word upon our hearts. It's very interesting when one studies the life of someone that we know about quite well, and that is David. A lot is written about David. And I believe that when we study the life of David, this man, and when we come to understand that in this final chapter of his life, he found himself speaking to his son, that he brought with him a resume. What he brought to the table was the reflection of the life that he had lived. So I did a little research. You're going to have to beg my pardon, because I have 14 points coming up. Are you ready? Get out your computer and start typing. Here's the question I ask. What was it that this father understood when he said this to his son just before he died? What did this father bring to the table? What was in his background? What did he understand? Number one, he understood family. Bible tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 12, that he was the youngest of eight. He understood family. Families are critical to life. The family is the central unit of God's economy. It's the design of God. And families bring both joy and heartache. One can only imagine growing up as the youngest of eight. But he understood family. He understood the dynamics. He was talking to his son. He was trying to pass on something to him. And in the background, he got it. He knew about all the conflicts and the hurt and the pain and the joy. Sibling rivalry. He knew about that brother that hadn't talked to him for 10 years. He knew about all of that. He not only understood family, but he understood work. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 15 said, David worked for his father and he took care of the sheep. Number three, David understood presence. The presence of God. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13, the Bible says, so Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. When David spoke to his son, he understood what it meant to be totally consumed by the presence of the glory of God. And he wanted his son, he wanted his daughter to experience the same presence. What did he understand? He understood power. Power. Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 17 that the power of God rested upon him even in the context of his secular power. This boy, this one of eight, grew up to be a man, was given the presence of God and sat on the seat of power, receiving the power of God. He understood the meaning of power. The unsatiable search of the heart of man. People want power. They want it. They want to be in control. They want to be able to order life. They want to be able to be change makers. And he understood the meaning of power, both from a secular point of view and mostly from a spiritual point of view. Number five, what did this father bring to the table? When he spoke to his son, he understood opposition. That's a very significant thing. When he spoke to his son, he understood what it meant to face opposition. We could spend a long time together reminding ourselves of the opposition this father faced in his life. Number six, he understood this father did friendship. You know, the story of his friendship with Jonathan is a wonderful story, isn't it? They were very close friends, and they loved each other. He understood the value, the preciousness of friends, friendships. What was he trying to say to his son? This was in his background. This was his resume. In many ways, it was part of his DNA as a father. This was the heart of this father. Family and work and presence and power and opposition and friendship. But he also understood the meaning of mercy. The Bible tells us in 1 Samuel 26 that he could have taken the life of King Saul, but he had mercy. There's so many things you and I can do. But God wants us to do otherwise. And this whole issue, were it not for the mercy of God, God who is rich in mercy has loved you and me despite who we are, despite our sin and our separation from Him. This was not just something that was an idea in the cosmos. This Father's heart was rich in mercy. He was passing along something. He understood the meaning of authority. He had the authority. He was king. What he said was law. He could order anything he wanted to at any time. He understood that. He understood the power of prayer, 2 Samuel chapter 7. That beautiful prayer where we find this Father prostrate before the throne of God, crying out to God, saying, "Oh God, would you do for me what I cannot do for myself?" He understood that. And right there on his deathbed, he was talking to his son. He understood the meaning and the consequence of sin. This dad, when he spoke to his son Solomon, believe me, the Bible reminds us very clearly, this man's adultery with another woman's man's wife, and his sin was ever before him. David understood it as a father. It gripped his heart. What was he saying to his son? He understood the meaning of repentance. That beautiful psalm that we know and love so well. As he covered himself in sackcloth and ashes and came with a repentant heart before a holy and a righteous God. Dads, who amongst us have not sinned against our God? And here was this father speaking to his son. What are you going to say? What are you saying? What am I saying to our sons and daughters? He understood the significance of praise. 2 Samuel chapter 22, "I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing praises to your name." How many times does David not just break out in a cacophony of praise? Sometimes someone said, when you've got nowhere else to go, just start praising the Lord Jesus. There's power in praise. And besides that, God's word says that God inhabits the praise of His people.
Indeed, He does inhabit the praise of His people. Forgive the interruption. Dr. Don wants me to stop for just a moment to remind you that we're here for you because praise is more than just the soundtrack of how we worship and how we live out our lives. Praising the Lord, praise and worship music is a tool to push back the enemy. I pray that you and I don't miss out on the opportunity of knowing that not only does praise allow God to inhabit this space that we're in, whether it's private praise or corporate praise, don't leave the praise just to the worship center, but let it be a part of our everyday life. And in that way, we have equipment. We are prepared to be a warrior in spiritual warfare. If you haven't heard about it, there's a wonderful series called Fortified with Dr. Don Wilton and the classic book, The Strategy of Satan by Warren Wiersbe. They're both available on our website right now as tools of warfare. If you haven't heard all the details, here's Liz with how you can get your copy.
Are you spiritually dressed for today's battles? As Christians, the Word of God equips us on how to prepare and fight spiritual battles. The Apostle Paul reminds us in Ephesians 6:12 that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Join Dr. Wilton as he unpacks Fortified, a powerful four-message series to help you understand the spiritual battle we are in and teach you how to put your spiritual armor on. Plus, to further equip you, you will receive the bonus book, The Strategies of Satan, How to Detect and Defeat Him, by Warren Wiersbe. Call us at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-WORD. 1-800-899-9673 and request Fortified and the Strategies of Satan for a gift of $25. Thank you for supporting the Encouraging Word as we continue to proclaim the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ around the world.
It's a great resource. The phone number to call about your copy is 866-899-WORD, but that number is more than just a way to order a book or a DVD. 866-899-9673. We'll connect you with some of us. Happy to be a locked arms with you in prayer, to pray as prayer warriors in your life. That's 866-899-9673. Now back to today's great teaching with Dr. Don Wilton.
2 Samuel chapter 22, I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing praises to your name. How many times does David not just break out in a cacophony of praise? Sometimes someone said, when you've got nowhere else to go, just start praising the Lord Jesus. There's power in praise. And besides that, God's word says that God inhabits the praise of his people. He understood the significance of friends, not just friendship. Those mighty men that we read about, that band of brothers, the importance of being surrounded by like-minded spiritual people who build you up and not tear you down, who are there in times of great need, with you throughout thick and thin. How thankful we can be for friends. He understood this father. He understood the meaning of worship. In 2 Samuel 24 and verse 18, then the Lord answered his prayer on behalf of the land, and watch this, and the plague on Israel was stopped. You know, as I read this passage, when the time drew near for David to die, he gave a charge to Solomon, his son. I remember when I got that call, ran over to my father's house. And they were loading my dad onto a stretcher, gurney. The ambulance was standing there. And Dad was so unwell. And I remember following that ambulance down to the regional hospital. And I remember going into that first place, and my father was so confused. And he was hurting. And I've never told anybody this. It was just me and my dad. And those that tended to my father came, and they were putting tubes in his arms and doing a whole lot of other things. And he was hurting, and he was so confused. And then he really got confused. And he started pulling all the tubes out. And I went over and I put my arms around him and I said, it'll be okay, Dad. And I'm not sure if Dad really understood. But he looked at me and he said, it's okay, son. Maybe just those few words, you know. Because Dad went to heaven not all that long after that. But as my brother and I stood next to Dad, and he took his last breath, I looked at a father that I just believe understood. So if this is what this father understood, could we just consider what this father said with that kind of background? This is what he said to his son. Number one, son, stand strong. Stand strong. It's right there. So be strong. That's a powerful statement. Stand strong. Stand up straight, boy. And he wasn't just talking physically. He was saying to him, listen, you know, life is wonderful, but it's also got everything in it. Stand strong. Number two, man up. It's what he says there. Show yourself a man. If he was talking to his daughter, he would have said, woman up. Be the woman God has called you to be. Be the man God has called you to be. Man up. Demonstrate your convictions. Show courage. Speak truth. Demonstrate your conviction. Number three, this is what he said in the first part of verse 3. Take note. Take note, son. Look there in verse 3. Observe what the Lord your God requires. Take note. Please forgive me because I'm not trying to put something into David's mouth, but if he had this Bible, he would have said, son, this is not a suggestion. You don't need to call a special meeting about what God says. Number four, this is powerful. He says, walk straight. Walk straight. Look at what he says in the rest of that. He says, walk in his ways. Walk in his ways. So, on the one hand, take note of what God's requirement. This is what God requires. Walk in it. Read it. Study it. Just accept it. Obey it. And do it. Any further questions? That's what he was saying to his son. Now let's bear in mind that he was speaking to the future king who could change anything he wanted to. Do anything he wanted to. And here he is saying, No. God is very clear. Walk straight in his ways. And then one more. He says, hold fast. Hold fast. Look what he says in the second part of that verse there. He says, keep his decrees and commands, his laws and requirements. Hold to them. Write them in your heart. Stick to it. Don't waver. Don't take detours. So there's a five-pronged series of counsels that he gives to his son. David is about to die, and he calls in his son, and he says, I'm about to die. Here's what I want to tell you to do. You ready, son? I'm about to take my last breath. I've lived this life. I'm bringing to the table everything, family, work, the presence of God, power, opposition, friendship, friends, mercy, authority, prayer, worship, life, sin, repentance. I'm bringing everything to the table. Been there. Done this. David, you want to be prospered. You want to be protected in your life. Here's what you need to do. I'm sharing this with you. I'm your dad. I'd just like you to know this. It's just so powerful. You know, all of that was based upon David's personal walk with God. My dad had a personal walk with the Lord. Came to know the Lord in his early 30s. And his life was changed. I was like 6 years old when my dad came to know Jesus. When I married Karen, my father-in-law, Ed Bolton, Bumper as we called him, godly man. How are you doing, Dad? What are you leaving your children with? Don't over try to become the friend of your children. Just be their dad, and you will be their friend. You don't have to get into the trench. Just be dad. You'll be the best friend they've ever had. Tell your kids how much you love them every day. Just tell them that. And no matter how old you are, how old they are, teach them. Tell them to stand strong, to man up, to take note, to walk straight, to hold fast.
What a powerful teaching from Dr. Don Wilton today, and it's our prayer that you've not heard just this South African brogue of Dr. Don Wilton, our teacher, but you've heard the voice of God challenging each of us to woman up, to man up, to be the kind of men and women God calls us to be now more than ever. That starts with a commitment to Christ, or perhaps can be reunited by a rededication to Christ. You've heard Dr. Don as he's preached from the pulpit. Now, as he steps into the studio, open your heart to what he wants to share next.
Thank you for listening today. It's been such a joy sharing God's word like this. Isn't it amazing how you can hear God speak through his word and by his spirit? Right now, I'm going to ask you, would you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, you would. Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and I need Jesus. I need to be forgiven of my sin. I confess my sin to you, and I receive you into my heart and into my life. In Jesus' name I pray. My friend, if you've prayed that prayer, God not only heard you, but he's answered your prayer. The Bible says, they that call upon the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved. I want to connect with you. You can visit us at tewonline.org. tewonline.org, or you can call us at 866-899-9673. Okay, you want me to give that again? You might want to write it down, make note of it. That number, 866-899-9673. Let's connect, because we got a lot of growing together to do.
If you just gave your life to Jesus Christ, welcome to the family of God. Welcome home if you rededicated your life. Or perhaps like some, the Word of God has stirred your heart and you realize you need to make a decision, but you're not sure what to do next. You want someone to pray with you and for you to help dig into God's Word and find the answers to some of your questions. We're ready to do that at 866-899-WORD. Jot this number down, store it in your cell, 866-899-9673. We'll connect you with one of us 24 hours a day, happy to talk or listen or pray or get you those free resources if you just gave your life to Christ or rededicate your life that will help you grow in your faith. And whether you've been walking with the Lord for a day, an hour, a minute, or 50 years, the Daily Encouraging Word Bible Guide will strengthen your faith on a daily basis. It's a free email you can sign up for on our website at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. Sign up, and within 24 to 72 hours, you will have that in your email box. That's online at tewonline.org.